Well, good evening.
Good evening.
A little tired tonight. I had a long night last night. Very interesting occasion when Andrew Baer, who sat with us years ago, maybe you might remember, he didn't sit for very long. He lives in Berkeley and works over here, but it didn't work out very well. And he's raising a child. So in the meantime, he's working downtown in San Jose, with the dying, doing wonderful bodhisattva work. And he said that for years he's been feeling very sad about the homeless because they die and just disappear. There's nothing said, they just, nobody even knows who they are. He said they try to find out who they are at the coroners, but often they don't. No family shows up and nobody knows who it is. So he was dreaming of having a memorial service for the homeless who have died. And we did that last night. He invited all the religious, so-called religious, in the community and gathered them at City Hall at the plaza and one by one each or many of the people said something. There was a man with a turban, there was a Jain in white clothes. I didn't know there were Jains in San Jose, but there's a temple here somewhere for Jains. The Sufis were there, and the Sunnyvale Zen people were there in golden robes, looking gorgeous. And homeless were there. Andrew collected as many homeless as he could, and there were probably 40 of us and maybe 15 of the homeless. And through the course of things, we did some singing, we did some chanting, we did some listening, and then one by one the homeless would stand up and read names of those they knew who had passed away this last year. So it was very, very touching. And yet kind of helpless feeling, because we weren't doing anything to help the ones who were still there. I thought they're going to go, I don't know where, to sleep somewhere. And it was cold and the wind was blowing, and here we all were going back to our, in our warm jackets, going back to our nice warm houses. So it was, in terms of what we're studying here, which sounds so nice, you know, reaching out to others and putting others before the self. And yet there's so many occasions when it's very hard to know what to do. We can recognize that there's a great need, and yet we're powerless to do very much about it. And I think it's important to know that and to stay aware of it, so that if something shows up where we can do something, that we should leap to the occasion and do something right away, because the chances are slim that we're given to actually help in a large way. We simply don't have that kind of opportunity. But small ones, we do. So our homework was, I believe it was number 40, connect all wrongs with one intention. Stamp on the kleshas. Isn't that what we were doing this last week? Setting an intention to benefit others. Make that our intention, our definite, direct, only intention is to be of benefit to others. One of the teachers said it's an opportunity to reach out to others and offer them your happiness. So even if we have nothing else to offer, we can certainly offer our happiness. But it means we have to know where our happiness is and know what it is. We don't always call it happiness. That's such a sort of silly word in a lot of ways, but in terms of our practice, we speak of joy. There is, in spite of everything, you could say, great joy. Joy in being alive, and certainly joy in having been discovered by practice. Stamp on the kleshas, is, Norman says, is resetting the dial. So it's nothing fancy. It's just changing the intention. Or really waking up to our original intention. Gil Fronsdale gave a talk where he said we aren't putting practice into our life, that we're applying our life as practice, that they're not two things, it's just one. Life itself is practice. It's not something that we go and get, which is helpful when we're correcting all wrongs with one intention. There's nowhere to go. There's nothing special to do except just to be where we are and deal with it just as we can. And Chogyam says, respond only in one way to dejection, which is the opposite of sharing our happiness. Respond, another way of saying responding to dejection with our intention. Our one basic intention. So it doesn't mean we get to be perfect. It doesn't mean that all wrongs are terrible. For us, we're such innocent babes in the way that we live, in the virtues that we have available to us. If you're cold and hungry, it's really, really hard to be anything but cold and hungry. We have the opportunity to be a whole lot more. Set an intention. And just overstep the kleshas when they come. Can't imagine stamping on them. It's very funny. Maybe so. So what were your experiences? Karen?
I had plenty of kleshas this weekend, tripped right over them instead of stepping over. It was a very defensive work week. I guess I got feelings hurt. People didn't think of me as the authority in the situation. And look at my credentials and blah, blah, blah. Made for a rough week. I cried my eyes out last night, for who knows why, just more like, my feelings are hurt, my ego is, I don't know, but I wasn't very graceful, and I think I could have used a little more awareness, a little bit of a step back. I had to do it over again.
Yeah. Well, you probably will at some point, as life goes on. But situations like that are helpful in one way, in that they make you very aware of how sensitive we are to our own benefit of what we want to be like and want everybody else to think about us as. We have a picture of it, and if it doesn't fit everybody else's picture, it really hurts. But it's a really good lesson in looking at our picture and realizing that we don't know what other people see, and we don't even know what we are really. So in here it says roll all blames into one and just say thank you very much. And just let it be like that. Just be the lowly one that they're going to kick around. But if it's short term, that's one thing. But if it's long term, it's, I would say, a signal to do something to protect yourself.
At the same time, I got feedback. I'm new at this job. I got feedback from somebody who gave a Christmas card, and we had a little exchange, and he said, just how good it was that I joined them, and he was really referring to just my kind way of being in the workplace. And mm-hmm. He really felt like that is a compliment. It felt better than anything I was really looking for on the other plane, I guess. So
yeah,
it's pretty interesting.
Oh, that's a sign from heaven.
Yeah.
Be like this.
Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you.
you, sir.
If I would experience a mild form of aggression yesterday because of this website thing, it was overwhelming. And then I didn't sleep that good. Oh, just a little bit, mild, very mild, very tame one. And then, but I wasn't like the best state of mind, but I woke up, turned on computer, there were two emails from Marie. And then she's just taking care of one thing after another. And then that cured me.
Yeah, I'm sure it did. Just like that.
Yeah, it's one thing after another all day long. I can see the progress, and it helped me.
Well, it looks fantastic. I'm just so impressed with you guys. I don't know how you did it. It's gorgeous. Guys should see. It's not quite done yet, even, but it's getting there, and it's lovely. Mm-hmm. You did good work. Mm-hmm. Yeah, one, two, three.
Yeah.
The little team. Yeah. Oh, thank you for that. Thank you, all three.
And there was a professional web designer that everybody contributed to. Everybody's website.
Well, it means a lot to a lot of people. I'm surprised always at how many people are using the website and know about it, and it comes up on Yahoo right at the top of the list, and it's got 5 stars. I don't know where they come from. It's very impressive. Brit put a 5 star. it's great.
Yelp, you're talking about Yelp?
Yes. No, not Yelp. When it comes up on Google in a search,
it has 5 stars
on one of them.
It could be Yelp.
Yeah, it's listed as Jeet Kune Do or Floating Zendo. Anyway, great labor has gone into this. It's remarkable now that I have witnessed how much labor there is. I appreciate every website I look at. Some of them, you can see, people don't really know what they're doing, and some of them are really brilliant, beautiful. Never appreciated them before. Well, next week, we get to use these intentions. To start and end our day. So that's a very sweet one. 2 activities, one at the beginning, one at the end. So at the beginning and end of every day, we start and finish with what he calls twofold bodhicitta. In the morning, you remember it and take the attitude of not separating yourself from it. And at the end of the day, examine what you've done. And if you haven't separated yourself from bodhicitta, be happy and vow to try to do it again. And if you were separated from bodhicitta, you should vow to reconnect with it the next day. So there's no blame. There's no agony or anguish. It's just pay attention. Set the standard in the morning and then recognize in the evening how it went. Says it's a very simple slogan. It means your life is sandwiched by your vow to put others before yourself and by your sense of commitment to bodhicitta. He says, promise yourself that you will work on twofold bodhicitta and develop a sense of gentleness toward yourself and others. You promise not to blame the world and other sentient beings and to take their pain onto yourself. When you go to bed, you do the same thing. In that way, both your sleep and the day that follows are influenced by that commitment. He says it's quite straightforward. Very simple, very simple. So what Norman says about this is it's just a thought. You know, we forget sometimes that all this that we're stumbling over and battling with, and it's all just thinking. It's all just a thought. And if we choose a thought in the morning and choose a thought in the evening, that sets our attitude, and that conditions how we feel. And I think that's the essence of this instruction, is that we'll feel a lot better this way, with this kind of attitude. We will improve the whole atmosphere of our life, which means we'll affect not only ourselves but others. It just happens almost by itself if we start and plunge into our day with this kind of simple intention, straightforward intention, just to be there with and for others as best we can. So that's what we were doing last night. I stood next to a lady who seemed to know everybody, and a very large lady and a very large-hearted person who said amen after each thing that happened. She immediately embraced it with an amen. And yet behind us, especially her and me, was somebody who was out of his mind entirely and was screaming at everybody at the same time, far enough away that nobody did anything about it. But the contrast was her amen and his terrible language and fury and craziness going on in the back. There's a lot of outreach going on in a lot of different religious practices. And some of the people talked about that. but it's a harder problem than outreach is able to do very much about so far. It's bewildering in a way. But that people are trying, that's the most important thing. So are there questions?
I wonder why they decided to hold it at night, because they have free parking or something.
I have no idea why he set it up that way.
Yeah. I mean, because homeless people that want a bed for the night,
they have to be there.
After the shelter.
Yes. Yes. No, I don't know how what his thinking was at all. But we were there in this huge plaza, and nobody was around except us. You know, people who were invited came, but no passerby dropped in. There was no passerby.
I can think of two reasons. One is the plaza is not likely to be booked, and two, a lot of the homeless sleep during the day so that they don't die of the cold at night.
Oh, of course. Yeah.
Worked downtown for several years, and you could see them sleeping in the park in the middle of the day, and then when the night comes, they all get up and gather their stuff and start walking. That's how you stay warm.
Right, right. Yeah, I've seen that myself. Yeah, thank you. There was one man who had a church before that building was made, and he said it was some years ago when it was just beginning to be a problem in San Jose, but it was a big problem, and he started taking people in at the church, and he said he always had at least 15 people sleeping in the church, and then the city discovered it and made him shut it down. And he finally had to shut the church down because they were building this beautiful, gorgeous building, this magnificent public building with no place for the people to go. Curious, curious situation we're in.
Well, I'm sure the neighbors have a whole different slant on
them. Oh, you know it.
I wonder if it was the Methodist Church. You say it was near City Hall site?
Mm-hmm.
That burned down?
He didn't say that. It's impressive. Let's do our 1 minute sit.
Can I make an announcement?
Yes, please.
The 25th Christmas Day, there's an open house at our house. For those of you that don't want to be with your families or Don't want to cook. You can come over, and it starts at 9. So whenever you want to come see me, I'll give you the address. So happy holidays.
Thank you, Samia. Well, let's set our intention.